Hey everyone, today is December 23rd, and I'm guessing many of us are very busy with end of year celebrations and times with family, and I wish you great joy and delight in all of those festivities. Of course, we've also just passed the winter solstice, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, and I want to begin talking about that today and then moving into some ideas about that growing light and the divine feminine. And these are ideas and discoveries I've made even just in the last 3 weeks since we've chatted. So my December has been a deep dive into that, which I was not anticipating. But when that is coming up and taking you along for the ride, you just go with it. And so that is the fruit of the last 3 weeks that I have to share with you today. I hope you're doing very well. The moon is almost full. In fact, it will be full the day after Christmas. If you celebrate Christmas, so on the 26th, it will be full. And we're in the cold moon right now. The weather's warm today in my neck of the woods, so I plan to go for a night walk in this glorious moonlight tonight. So I'm wishing you communion with the moon wherever you find yourself. And just as a way of reminding where the podcast is going forward and what I'm planning to do in the days and weeks ahead, the information I share today is somewhat preparatory for a meditation that I will do and release on New Year's Eve. So if you're able to listen to that on New Year's Eve, great. If not, obviously, when you have a still moment, it's with the intention of taking some of these rich and beautiful ideas into the new year. And if you'll remember, I have released a calendar on my website at lorigreen.net that is very radical in a lot of ways because it's mirroring a lot of the reality transurfing material and conscious imagination work we've been doing, those disciplines of the last year. We've done so much of that together. And so this calendar isn't for everyone, but it is certainly for people who are challenging themselves to be radical in their thinking, and most importantly, radical in their ability to be, in their ability to move from the inside out. If I were to say what this 2023 year has been about for me, it has been realizing in a very experiential way how essential it is to create from the inside out. I've always been someone who has oriented to the inner life, and I've done that for years, but that's different than knowing now in this year experientially that that is how I'm creating my external world, is what's going on inside being reflected back. And I just didn't have that bit until very, very recently, and it's so empowering. And all the work we've done together has helped hone those skills and create a discipline of the mind to assist that endeavor. And what I want to share today is just going more deeply into that. But we are not going to experience anything externally that we haven't first created internally. And we can create such incredible, joyful, loving lives for ourselves if we embrace this practice in a really intentional way. So that radical being calendar will move through the year highlighting aspects of that. And we will refer to that in the podcast throughout the year. So I think it's a helpful companion and a fun companion to have. Also, the first podcast in January will talk about the calendar. And obviously you don't have to have it to benefit from it, but it'll sort of show how we can move through the year with that as a guide. And I've also listed on the calendar all of the moons, new and full, that we always begin our podcasts with. So there's just a lot of information there that we tend to navigate here in the podcast together. So I think that's a fun gift. And again, if you want to check that out, it's at lorigreen.net. I also have some new interviews coming up in the new year. I have several delightful folks to share with you and learn from, and more on that coming soon. I just have an embarrassment of riches in terms of beautiful, beautiful people in my life, beautiful people who reach out. I want to thank so many of you who are sending love donations to the podcast. I have always intended to keep the podcast accessible to everyone and to not charge for it. It's sort of my gift and gratitude practice. Having said that, several of you, even since we last connected, have sent love offerings, and I so deeply appreciate that. It's just so touching to receive that. And I've reached out in writing to several of you, and I have a few more thank you notes to send out, but it just means so much to me. And thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want everyone to know that any of the proceeds that I receive, either through the podcast or through my online store, 10% always goes back into charitable causes. That's a really important practice for me. And I'm stating that more clearly on the site because that's something I want folks to know, that I really feel that when we do that kind of a practice, we're allying and aligning with the universal flow. And I really want to be about that in everything that I do. So just know that the good that you are sending my way, I am receiving with such a warm heart, and I am returning out into the world to go to other good homes. So it's a win-win-win for everyone. And thank you for your generosity toward me. I won't share a poem first thing today because we're going to have several really rich readings today that are quite poetic. So we'll just have them within the context of today's podcast. But what was very surprising to me in the last 3 weeks, and I'm trying to reverse engineer how this even happened. And when it's a little nebulous for me to pinpoint exactly when a discovery sort of made its appearance, I know it's because the soul is leading. And then just suddenly that's about everything I'm doing. But it was kind of hard to even track how it emerged into my awareness. But I know I have shared with you recently about the idea of Neville Goddard's work about the feeling. Okay, we've talked about that in greater detail, the feeling for manifestation, the feeling of knowing that when we have heartfully and feelingly imagined the details of one of our heart's desires, and we have spent time with that, and we know what it looks like, and we can imagine ourselves in that scene. When we release that into the imagination, and from the imagination, the mirror world, that neutral force that mirrors back everything that we believe and intend and mirrors that back to us, that process of receiving something beautiful that we've put out into the world and resting in the fact that not only our unconscious thoughts come back to us, but our conscious ones will as well. And that is a reliable process that we can work very proactively with. we talked about the feeling not only being how you feel about your heart's desire, but more importantly, this is a nuance I've learned in Neville's work. He's talking about knowing that it's done. Knowing that it's done. There's sort of an audacity in a really positive sense, a pride in that, like, it's done. And I think we are very much drawing on our authentic nature when we have that agency about the fact that the mirror world will reflect back something amazing to us, as well as the unconscious things that we've somewhat stumbled along doing. So intentional, imaginal work and having the confidence, the audacity, in the very best sense of the word, to claim that, that is what Neville is talking about. He specified that in his lectures, that he's talking about the feeling of the wish fulfilled, knowing it is done, resting in that. And so that's where I began with this idea of that confidence. I hear that confidence in his voice, in his lectures, and other folks along the way who I know are really in step with their intentional creation of their lives, co-creation of their lives with these principles. I hear that confidence as well. And it's a confidence I'm leaning into more all the time myself. That confidence suddenly opened up a whole new line of questioning for me. And we've often spoken of the question, the next best question of the psyche, is actually the thing to embrace. We don't have to have the answers. We just need to allow ourselves to ask a more meaningful question. And that takes us to the next awakening. And that's indeed what happened, because I think I asked a question of my psyche, you know, how do I embody that feeling of assurance of the wish fulfilled, of the heart's desire fulfilled, knowing it's a done deal, knowing it is, not worrying about it, not fretting about it, not thinking I need to go out and do something, just knowing in that sense of radical beingness that it is done. So I was leaning into that idea, and that's when all of this information flooded my awareness in the last 3 weeks about the Gnostic feminine figure of Sophia. Sophia from the Gnostic texts, and then from other sources as well, is a vast topic to begin with, okay? I'll be learning about this for a long time. But I want to keep it simple as well, because the subject matter and the scholarly material about Sophia is vast. It's incredible. So many folks are doing really interesting work about Sophia. But I also want to keep it very simple, because in terms of embodying the divine feminine, I think there's something very natural and simple to remember. And that is, her message, very broadly, is about embodying wholeness. A lot of our quote-unquote masculine disciplines have been about training the mind. We've talked about that a lot. And they're serving this precious feminine center. Sophia often refers to, in many cultures and in many religious traditions, wisdom itself. Wisdom itself. And we can open to that divinity in a very embodied way. And in fact, so much of the divine feminine work is about embodiment. And it is about connecting to the earth and having that experiential knowing of the divine. And that's the information I want to share with you today, just the beginnings of that information. And it coincided so beautifully with the solstice, because I was completely unaware that there is a text, an alchemical text called Aurora Consurgens. I had no idea that this existed. And wouldn't you know it, C.G. Jung has a rich history with that text. And indeed, his student, Marie-Louise von Franz, has a book about it. And we're going to talk about that today. But the idea of Aurora Consurgens, meaning the rising dawn, all of this coincided in my discoveries in the last 3 weeks. And I was just amazed at the synchronicity of all of this happening at the solstice. And this agency I'm referring to, when we know that the wish, the heart's desire is fulfilled, I feel very deeply that this Sophia presence, this innermost divine feminine, who just is, it is love itself. Love itself. God is love. However you want to relate to that most authentic, integral part of ourselves. Love is a great name for that. And this wisdom, this love, this feminine center, this animating force, anima, animating force, going into life. There's a beautiful part of one of the Gnostic texts about Sophia where, and I'm paraphrasing here, she says, you know, release me from my prison, but leave the filth. Leave the filth. And obviously, the divine feminine is not bound in and of herself. But I believe how I'm understanding that text is when we look at the duality happening in the material world around us, we see all of the light and the shadow together. We see things we want, we see things we don't want. And again, we're in a participatory exchange with all of that. But to see through something that is appearing in the external world to be ugly or to have filth or to have less desirable qualities, just like in the folk and fairy tales, the hag, the beast, to be able to see through into the animating force that is behind that is to release Sophia. And the fact that she wants us to keep the filth is to honor wholeness. We are not cleaning things up. We are saying we embrace all of it. We embrace the dark and the light, the up and the down, the moon and the sun, the lost and the found. We embrace all of it. But we can animate that which is of our heart's desire, and that is releasing Sophia in the material world. And I feel like this is a beautiful complement to a lot of the quote-unquote manifestation or alignment. I really like thinking of alignment more of that work that we've been doing, that vibrational alignment where we are identifying ourselves with our heart's desires and our divinity from the inside out, as opposed to our human walk from the outside in, from the external in. We're always going to run into trouble there. We're going to have one-offs. if we're approaching it from the external in, we're going to have a way of life if we're approaching this from the inside out. So all of these ideas about Sophia started finding me this week, and maybe you're aware of her, and I'm sure I could learn so much about, you know, what you know. Send me a link or a note or reach out to me through the website. There's just so much rich material here. I know we will be exploring it more in the future. But I just want to read a few passages today to just begin to orient ourselves with this material. And there are a couple passages I want to begin with that were really profound for me right at the time of the solstice, because we're talking about that deep, deep darkness and then moving back into the light. And as a depth psychologist, the power of the dark is so important to me. And that doesn't mean I am glib about it at all. The shadow must be respected. But the wholeness, the perspective of serving wholeness as a way of understanding and navigating the dark is, for me, how we stay in a healthy relationship with it. And if we're giving creative voice to the darkness, as opposed to being overcome in some way by it. So I want to share this quote from Wendell Berry. And he says, "To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark. Go without sight and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings." I thought that was so extraordinary. And we are deep in the territory of Sophia when we are talking about the dark, the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sort of these traditions, that is often linked to spirit, elevation, transcendence. Sophia is more linked to soul, to embodiment, to matter, to the darkness. And again, she is the beautiful feminine face of God. So again, we're beyond language here, that the ultimate source is not gendered in any way, but I love bringing the masculine and feminine perspective back into our experience of the divine. And this idea of releasing, i.e. seeing the anima, the animating principle, and calling on that with agency, knowing it's there, knowing it's coming back at us, knowing love is being invoked, soul is being invoked and coming right back at us to experience in our material world. This is really profound material, in my estimation. I want to share a quote by Michael Mead to this end. "Those who seek for pearls must be willing to dive to the depths time and time again. Once in the depths, things appear differently, and each descent requires an inner adjustment in order to see what is otherwise hidden from view. People expect beautiful things to come in an attractive wrapper, but the soul has it another way. The hidden beauty works its way from inside out and must be sensed within before it can be displayed for all to see." And again, that's Michael Mead from Fate and Destiny. And that has been my experience in the most profound ways. I have been so devoted to the divine feminine for decades, and that journey just keeps deepening. And again, a lot of the masculine disciplines, quote unquote, mental disciplines, action-oriented, energy-oriented disciplines of the mind we've engaged in are serving that beautiful feminine center of beingness. And we talked about that in our Grail series, that the knights are in support of this beautiful Grail center that is all of us, that is the authentic self. And I am so about being self-sufficient, capital S, self-sufficient, meaning I have these beautiful heart's desires that if animated from the capital self part of my nature, with the agency and the audacity to claim it is done. It is done. I have released that, and I claim that to the experiential part of my world so that I can enjoy that and share joy and share goodness. I think that is the most beautiful way to envision being self, capital S, sufficient. It is not about running ourselves ragged in the material world. It's about tapping in to the inexhaustible well that is each of us. But it requires that willingness to be with the dark and to be with the unknown while she reveals herself. And this alchemical text called Aurora Consurgens, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what all is in that. I'm going to read a little bit from several authors about it because it is fascinating. And many folks believe it is a way of talking about Sophia, this feminine face of God. And there are incredible art pieces and pictorial aspects of Aurora Consurgens, and ending with a really beautiful colored plate where there is a kind of like the world card in the tarot, if you are familiar with that, but it is a black skinned figure with the world and with wings. And I love that because it's so important to have that perspective of wholeness and the earth and the fecund and the darkness represented, and knowing that we are releasing something exquisite and extraordinary by the embrace of that. So it's a fascinating and vast topic, but I'll just share a bit of the readings I have found thus far, all in service to a beginning conversation about this, and then also the meditation that I want to share with you right before we go into the new year. So here is Jeff Raff, R-A-F-F, is a Jungian analyst who's written some amazing texts on depth psychological work and alchemical work. And he has a quote here about Aurora Consurgens, and he has done some really deep dives into this alchemical text. And he says, Sophia sits at the middle space, the realm of the imaginal, between the latency of the unmanifested divine and our outer world of time, space, and matter. It is through her and only through her that the two realms can unite and merge in the third thing. This is done through actually speaking with her and those inner figures emerging through her in love, in your own temenos, your dark and quiet place. And then this is an actual quote from Aurora Consurgens. All good things come to me together with her, that wisdom of the south, who preacheth abroad, who uttereth her voice in the streets, crieth out at the head of the multitudes, and in the entrance of the gates of the city uttereth her words, saying, come to me and be enlightened, and your operations shall not be confounded. All ye that desire me shall be filled with my riches. Come therefore, children, hearken to me. I will teach you the science of God. It's just incredible, incredible alchemical, mystical writing here. And it's definitely of the depths, and it's definitely of love, and it is definitely of the quality of being and embracing wholeness. In terms of the authorship of Aurora Consurgens, we don't really know. Just reading straight out of Wikipedia, Aurora Consurgens is an alchemical treatise of the 15th century, famous for the rich illuminations that accompany it in some manuscripts, while in the last century the text has been more commonly referred to as Pseudo-Aquinas. There are as well arguments in favor of Thomas Aquinas, to whom it has originally been attributed in some manuscripts. The translated title from Latin into English is Rising Dawn. So apparently the argument for this being the work of Thomas Aquinas was that he was said to have, on his deathbed, had a disturbing vision, the content of which is not authenticated, but he is said to have interpreted the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon on his deathbed, somewhat in an ecstatic state. And some people link that to this text. And I think that is just fascinating. And then there are arguments against that idea as well. But again, it also has these incredible, I don't know if they're watercolors or anyway, they're colored plates that accompany, and you can look them up online if you're unfamiliar. They're very alchemical in nature. They're very much reminiscent of the inner marriage, the divine union that is taking place internally. And I think there's so much rich material to cover here. But again, it's quite mystical and cryptic. So here's another amazing bit of writing that I think really illuminates well what this text and its connection to Sophia is about. And this is by Tokopa. And she says, "In times of confusion and ambiguity, it's helpful to remember that there is a numinous power that emerges from a coherent divine source, and it knows which way to go. We can call this the power from below because it is elemental and quite physical. It is that organizing intelligence that animates all life. It is the pattern maker that stitches together our dreams, manifests in synchronicity, and arises in our longing or desire in the body. And if we can learn to follow and embody that power, it will lead the way out of the patriarchy. This power from below is Sophia, an ancient Greek word which loosely translates into wisdom. You can find it in the root of the word philosophy, which is the love of wisdom, but perhaps more accurately described as knowing. Sophia is the inner knowing that gets clearer and stronger as we dismantle the old power structures, but she is also the outer knowing that appears in the waking dream, in synchronicity and symbolic events in our lives. Sophia is that which knows about fate and time and the life-death-life cycle. As my friend and Jungian analyst J. Gary Sparks puts it, wisdom is a knower in you, not something that you know, something that knows you. There's a reversal of centrality. Sophia has been called the feminine manifestation of God in matter. I often refer to her as the holy in nature, a term taught to me by Martin Prechtel. I love this way of framing Sophia because it holds both the spiritual and earthly realms together. As we enter this powerful season of change, consider which way the energy of Sophia wants to move your life. Whatever terrible thing is happening to you, can you choose it? Can you give a good death to that which is leaving you? Can you at the same time trust in the as yet unmanifest life that sparkles to you like starlight across time and space?" That is such a beautiful writing from Tokopa. And it really embodies this rich, rich connection to Source in just another way than we have previously talked about it. And I just want to return to the idea again of very simply stating, in any moment, we are choosing if our identity is divine or human. And that doesn't mean we don't have human and ego aspects to our lives that are important. But as a central identity, I'm really encouraging in my own thinking and feeling to return to that divine center and let it inform my thoughts. Let it inform my feelings. Let it inform my imaginal heart's desires and the release of that and the expectation that that will absolutely be accommodated in the material world coming back at me through the beautiful reflection of this magical world that we live in and the way that reflects back. I would also like to say that in any moment, we are also choosing between love, capital L, and lack. And for me, that really distills what this is about. If there's lack of any kind, we have slipped back in to our human story and whatever it has to share with us about the old war wounds and the old ways it's been. At the end of this Tokopah reading, when she says, you know, what new life are you going into? We can choose that in every single moment, that the past is dead. It doesn't even exist. It is simply a mental concept and not even an accurate one. So let it die. Let it die. Choose in every moment the divinity from within, the connection to source, the connection to love and the heart's desires and the agency of letting that all blossom in the material world. To me, this is such a beautiful alchemical companion to the growing light again in terms of the solstice. So we're going to enhance and expand on these ideas moving forward. But between now and the end of the calendar year, till we connect again on the podcast, this isn't a homework assignment in that you have to write it down, but just think about the four different areas of your life that you would really love to nurture a heart's desire going into the new year. I am not a New Year's resolution gal. I don't like the idea of self-improvement. I don't even buy into that. What I like is becoming more of my authentic self, releasing into that confidence and joy and love. But there are four areas that I think really encapsulate all areas of our lives. And Mary Morrissey's work is definitely an inspiration in this regard. So the four areas are our health and vitality, our vocation and how we're using our talents, our money and time freedom and resource freedom, and our relationships. So notice how money and time resources and that flow is not necessarily the same as your vocation, how you're using your talents and your gifts in the world. And it's really taking me a lot of courage to unpack that, because if you've spent a lot of time in the work ethic consciousness, you feel like that is what is bringing you your money. And it can, those areas can overlap for sure. But vibrationally speaking, and in terms of alignment, and in terms of visioning for ourselves from source, from the inside out, we can align with inexhaustible resources through infinite ways, while still having ways to express our talents and our gifts in the world. Again, those may overlap, but it's important to make a distinction there if that idea is new to you. So relationships, health and vitality, what we're doing with our time resources and our financial resources so that we can live comfortably and with ease in the world, the material world, and then what you're doing with your gifts, your vocation, if that is a way you like to think about it. But putting your particular expression of you out as a gift to the world. Spend a little time thinking about those four quadrants, if you will, because we're going to embrace those four aspects of ourselves in the meditation that we do on New Year's Eve. And we'll be bringing in these ideas of Sophia and the deep feminine and releasing into that idea of that deep sovereign identity. So I look forward to sharing that with you soon. And thank you for listening today and for all the gifts that you have brought me over the past year. I hope you have a beautiful week ahead. And until next time, take good care. Hi, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if my work is nourishing your heart and imagination, consider supporting the Apothecary Podcast. Just follow the links to make a contribution. And for the full scope of my projects and offerings, including my weekly newsletter, visit lauriegreen.net.